All right. That's a pretty song. I like the way that was done. And we needed that, didn't we? I had a it's only two songs. Yeah, we cut one for the sake of time. And I wondered on this message. I thought, what's the direction we're going, Lord? And sometimes I just have to ask God, what are we doing here? And it's like my job is to hear Him, bring the message He wants, and not to question. But once in a while, I'm thinking, all these passages, in one way or another, we've used before, not all together, maybe like this, but like, what do you want? And then this morning, as I'm visiting with different people of you, your hurts and pains, you're needing healing, you've got anxiety and stress, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, never mind, don't question God. You know, you want to talk about just how far does God's love go and reaching our pain and our suffering, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I get it, and I should learn. Why don't we learn? Well, you mean we still question God, don't we? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? I do on these messages. Where are you going with this? I'll do the message. I've got it in my mind. I'm forming it. I've got an outline working here. But God, you know, and then don't question Him. I want to bring a message or two out of about Jonah, about questioning God and running from Him. And we're going to talk about that one of these days. And how many people get hurt when we're running from God? When we're not coming clean, when we're not being obedient. We think of ourselves, but we're going to talk about Jonah. It'll probably be here soon. It's turning around. And just whenever God releases that in my heart and brings a message. But look how many people were endangered because of one man who was running from God. We talk about Jonah and the fish swallowing him up. We forget about the people on board that ship who almost all died because of him. And you see, there's always consequences for others when we are not in fellowship with the Lord. And so think about it. And it's not, am I willing to risk my kids, family, friends, everything just for my sake? For me and hurt other people? And you say, is that tied to this? Yeah, here's people that hurt other people. They've been hurt by people. They had all kinds of things happen to them. And I want to use our intro. I like as often as I can to have an intro passage to kind of get us focused on what we're going to talk about, what God wants. It's out of Matthew 9, verses 10 through 13. And Jesus is already, you know, he's already healed a paralyzed man. And take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And we go to Matthew 9, 10 through 13. And I love this passage, by the way. And when you sin, you need to go to it. You need to go to 1 John. Listen, when you commit a sin, this isn't in the text, but it just spoke to my heart about. And it's like, tell them where you go. If I do something I think is displeased the Lord, or I say something or think something, first place He leads me to old 1 John. He leads me to 1 John and that first chapter. And it says, if we confess our sins before Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it says, then if I walk in the light, as Jesus in the light, I have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. And I need that one. And you need it. So when you do this, and then turn here to Matthew 9, and look what Jesus said to the man that was paralyzed. He said, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. God, I need that all the time. I never feel, listen to this, this is one of my struggles in life, and it may be yours. I never feel that I'm living up to what God wants me to be. I never feel I preach well enough, that I don't pray well enough. I just feel like, Tony, doggone it, you know, you could do better. Any of you do that to yourself? And you just feel like you just can't get there. And you try so hard. I try so hard to listen to the Lord and His messages and everything. And it's not a poor me, pity me. It's just where I'm at. And the further I've gone along in life and the more experience with this, the more I realize that's exactly right, Tony. We're so fallible. And it's amazing how God brings His word through such imperfect, fallible people. And so don't feel so bad. We're all in this boat. And so this guy was paralyzed, and And he said, take heart, sons, your sins are forgiven. And then he goes to that, but that's not our deal. And then he goes from there, and he sees this tax collector, Matthew, who God used to write all this. And he said, follow me, and Matthew did. And if you've watched The Chosen, you'll see this, and I thought it was brought out so well on this, you know, leaving his booth and following Jesus. But then, and it began with chapter 10, it says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Now, I've got to tell you, and I mean it, I would be uncomfortable if several IRS people came and wanted to have supper with me. Okay? I mean, it would be like, you want them to see anything, that and you're just sitting there worried the whole time they're going to tax you on something. They're going to say, did you report this? What are they going to find? And it's like, I didn't even know I was supposed to. Oh, we got you there. I mean, how comfortable could we be, honestly? And so these guys are just coming in because of Matthew. And just think about this. Jesus went to Matthew's to have dinner, and then these tax collectors hear about it, and they're just coming in. So he's surrounded by the IRS. And they're eating with him. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teachers eat with tax collectors and sinners? And if it was me in my humanity, I would be thinking, that's a good question. I don't know why I'm doing it. They just came in here. But he didn't make excuses. On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Now hear this. He said, I didn't come here for righteous people. I didn't come here for those that got their act together. I came here for these people that are ripping the Jewish people off. You know, I mean, if they're a tax collector, look at what Matthew was doing. Tax collectors not only charged the Roman tax, they charged extra and stuck it in their pocket. So that made them real popular amongst the Jewish folks, just like they are popular today. And so that's what kind of people are here. And instead of making excuses, Jesus has said, let me tell you why I'm here. I'm here for these people because they're spiritually sick. And they have need of a doctor. And I'm the great physician. These folks are hurting and don't even realize how bad off they are. And they're dying spiritually. They've become thieves and extortioners. They, you know, their consciences are badly damaged, and he didn't say all this. He doesn't have to. That's what a doctor deals with. And so these are the people. And he said, a healthy don't need a doctor, but the sick. Now he said, go and learn what this means. And we read this stuff. We need to stop and pause and say, wow. He said, you go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He said, I'm not looking for you to go out there and go to the high priest around here, go to one of the priests, and they're going to sacrifice them, you know, like to do one of these things on animals, birds on the altar, and pour on its blood. He said, I'm not looking for that. He said, you're not going to impress me with that anymore. What was he not saying at the moment? Because what was he not saying? Because he was, in his heart, he knew, I'm the final sacrifice. And we're not going to need any more of this. So I'm not looking for this. I don't want anybody sacrificing me anymore. I'm the sacrifice. The ultimate, the end, that's it. I'm sacrificing myself for the sins of all the people. And no, you don't have to offer a bird or animal. All this stuff ends. All this is here in this. It's just not stated. And he says, I'm not looking for sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous but sinners. Everybody in this room, keep this in mind. And when he said this, Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. That's love. And how far does love go? See, that's the whole title of this thing. How far does God's love go? I mean, these people were rotten people. Now let's face it. They were cheating people. They were robbing poor people. Most of them were pretty poor folks. They were poor. They didn't have much to give in taxes. And then you had the gall to stand there, and they've just got a little bit left to make it. And they say, and you owe me this and this. And you took this money from folks who couldn't even have, didn't even have enough to eat when they, to buy enough to eat when they first came to you, and now you're taking that? Yep. And then Jesus is eating with these people. Does that, I mean, it's like, I don't get it. That's what was happening here with these Pharisees. I'm not taking it for the Pharisees, but it's like, we don't get it. What they didn't get really was that their hearts were worse than the hearts of these tax collectors, because they thought they were righteous. These guys knew they weren't. Man, that's to listen to us as Christians, isn't it? Don't ever think too much of yourself. Don't ever think you're that holy, like the Pharisees did. Because in the end, the tax collectors weren't near as bad off as the Pharisees, because they knew they were rotten. It's when you don't know you're rotten and won't admit it. And you've run up against people like that, haven't you? They were terrible, and yet they were judging everybody else by their own standards. They were the rotten ones, and they were judging everyone else. So there we are. And he said, I don't want to sacrifice. I didn't come for that. I came to call the righteous, you know, not the righteous, but I'm here for sinners. So that's the title of this message is, just how far does this love go? How far does God's love go? Does God love you enough to know what you're feeling right now, to know that you're sick? To know that you're sick at heart? To know that you're physically sick? Does God's love reach out and does God know that you're sick of being sick? You're sick of being depressed? I don't know what that was about, but okay. You're sick of being depressed. Anybody like that? Anybody here this morning feel you're just sick of being tired? You're just sick and tired of being sick and tired? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, you get that way. Now, years ago, I was visiting with a counselor. We were sharing our woes, you know, with all the stuff we deal with. And she told me, she said, Tony, you're tired, aren't you? And I said, yeah, aren't you? Yeah, I am. He said, you know, this stuff wears you out, listening to people's stuff all the time. And I said, yeah, sometimes I'm just tired of it. And she said, no, you're not tired of it. And it's like, huh? She said, you're not tired of it, you're tired because of it. And I think a lot of us are worn out and weary because of it. Not tired of it, because of it. It just wears on you, life does. And you're tired of feeling bad. You wake up and you just feel bad. Well, I want you to know this morning. Now, I say I want you. God wants you to know. He's here for you. And His love reaches out to you. And it's time to let go and let Him care for you and let Him take care of whatever it is that's causing you misery. Whatever's causing you the suffering. And He's saying, I want you to know my love reaches in there and I'll forgive your sins. I'll forgive the sins of those who have harmed you. And I'll take care of you. And I will heal your broken heart, your broken body, your broken emotions, your broken feelings, your broken mind. I'll heal your broken marriage. I'll heal your broken friendships. My love reaches all the way through. And it's right there in that, as we talked a week or two ago, that sharper than a two-edged sword and reaches to the marrow of the bone. God's love goes all the way. How, you know, it never stops. So we look at this passage here in Matthew, and it's just, and so let's look at this first point, and I won't keep you all day or anything, but just look at some points. This first point is that in saying all this and reading these scriptures, and it's the you know, God's love is the love that heals people. And a bunch of you need healing. Well, God's love heals. And you accept that love and the healing power of God with it this morning. We all need healing from something. We all need healing from things that have happened to us. I have to continually, and I say I have to, I'm just compelled to by the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, to ask Him to look into my own life and show me, is there anything else, Tony, you're clinging to? Is there anything else that's just, you've just never totally gotten over in your life? Is there anything that just kind of burns you once in a while? That just picks at you? And there's most things, I can tell you that I've had to do this over the years, and most things He's taken care of. But then once in a while, something I'll realize, you still dwell on that some, don't you? Yeah. And what don't we all? And that's what God's saying. Let my love come in there and fill that place. Let me take that out and put my love in place of it. You've been wounded. You've been hurt. I caught myself, and I mentioned this so many times, but I thought I was done with it. And then I caught myself. I don't know. I was out there working, doing some things one-handed, and I got frustrated because I needed to use my right hand. I'm not supposed to lift anything with this arm. Okay, and I couldn't get it. And I got all frustrated and put out, and I was being snarly, pawing around like an old bull in the pasture, throwing dirt everywhere. And then out of nowhere, so it's still in my subconscious, I was just looking there in the house, and I thought, I'm glad I have a home. And I really did these thoughts, because I'm glad I have a home, because when I was about 23, 24 years old, I got thrown out of a home. And it's like, you haven't let all that go. And I saw the man who did it in my mind. And I realized, you're just right there on the verge of hating that man still. And I think what made it fresh, my sister had called me a few weeks ago on the phone, and somehow she was still bothered by it. Something touched her off, and she started sharing it with me. You said, remember when Dad died? Yeah. And that guy owned that home. You worked on ranch land and farming, and they provide a home. And she said, you remember he threw us out, gave us 2 weeks, we had to move. We had no place to go. He had money everywhere. He had plenty of little homes. So he didn't have to do it. He was just cold-hearted. But she brought that back up, and I realized, though, I was kind of put out with her because she brought it up, and then I realized God let her bring it up because you're not totally healed from it either. And then that flashed into my mind, and I saw his face, and I got mad at him. And I needed a place to vent, and so all of a sudden, he was right there visible in front of me in my mind. And I just let him have it. You rotten, cold-hearted, no good, rich. And then God began to just work on me through that. And he did. And calm me down. And it's like, my love reaches into this, Tony. I'm going to tell you something. Here's what happened. Here's what the Lord did. And I want to share this because it's important to us. And that, I don't want anything to ever be about me. But I share my own experiences, hoping you can relate to them. It was like, Tony, what I was trying to teach you that you've never got, and it's time you got it, was that all you did was lose a house. Your home is with me. You're so attached. You were so because that was my. I was born and raised in that place, and you're so attached to this, and you had such a physical attachment, emotional attachment. You weren't able to realize that your home is with me. Everything's temporary now. Once you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, it's all temporary. It's all transitory. It's fading. Your home is in heaven. What is Jesus saying in John 14? I have a mansion prepared for you. I don't know what that'll be like, but I'm sure we want to run through it and enjoy it. I hope there's a big banister in that mansion. I want to get on the top, and I've always wanted to do that, and slide all the way down, ride it down to the bottom. And he'd say, what's wrong with you? I don't know. But I just want to do something like that and just say, yeah, this is my place. And what God is saying, when we lose things like that and stuff happens, God, take a look. It's taken me a long time. And I want to share it with my sister. Maybe she'll listen to this. If not, please listen. If you don't, I'm going to tell you on the phone. Anyway, here's what. But it's like God allowed that house to be taken. And does that excuse that mean man? No. But God said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. I don't know what he did, but he'll deal with it. But for us, hey, son, look up. I want you to quit being attached to these worldly things. There's more than that. So don't get hung up. I have people talk to me all the time, say, I don't know how to divide up my money when I go with my kids, and which one's going to get this and going to get that. And it's like, you're really worried about that? Really? Is that your problem? That's all. Is this all you've ever lived for? So that you can worry about what the kids are going to get? Just write yourself a will, put it in there. You won't be here anyway. If they get mad, you're going to get mad. Well, you know, you're not going to be here to mess with them. Think about it. What are you going to worry about it for? Just put it in there. God zaps you up, and then, you know, let's see what they do. Anyway, back to this. God's love can reach in there, and he'll take care of your wounds and your losses and whatever it is that you're attached to that suddenly is ripped away from you. And it could be a person, you know, it could be your dad. It could be a number of things. Your money, it could be anything. But God has got better for you. And he'll bring that better. I don't know what it is about this message. It just kind of reaches in there and says, I've got this. My love is bigger than all this stuff. My love's bigger than your pain. Let me heal you. Let me heal what's hurting in you, in your life, in your body, in your heart. I can take care of this. Let me give you a couple more real quick, and I want to read to you. God is the love that heals. And let's look at this healing real quick, just real quick. And Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, and a man with leprosy. He came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand, and look at this. Get this. This is the violation of the entire law. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. You say, okay. Well, my goodness, if you touch somebody with leprosy, you were unclean. You could get it. You had to go through a horrible thing. You were rejected. You had to get outside the camp. This was terrible. Jesus broke the law. And he touched the man with leprosy. You know why? Because he knelt before him and he said, if you're willing. And everybody's standing around, and Jesus is not alone. All these people, the disciples, and all these folks watching everything he did. What was all this for? Why did God allow this? Was it to heal one man? No, it was to heal many. And it was to say, there's no disease. There's no sin. There's no filth. There's no boils on your body. There's nothing so nasty that Jesus can't reach out with his love and touch you and heal you from it. Excuse me. I don't know why I'm coughing. Allergies, mate. Are your eyes burning? My eyes are burning. I don't know what's causing that. I've had an eye drop and put them in. But anyway, do you see this? If he's willing to touch a leper, because everybody was afraid you're going to, get leprosy, he reached out and touched this guy, and he said, I'm willing. And he said, what did he say? Be clean. And immediately he was healed. He was cleansed, it says, cleansed of his leprosy. And Jesus said, don't tell anybody. I'm not ready to be exposed, is what he was saying. And the guy went out and naturally and yelled at their body. But he said, just go to the priest. You had to go to the high priest and offer the gift. And, offer a gift for this. And the high priest will say, you're clean and you're good to go. He said, you follow the law. I just broke it, but I don't want you in trouble. How far is Jesus willing to go for you? What leprosy do you have? What are you toting around in your heart? What's just eating you up? Mine was a guy that had no feelings and throw people out of a home. It's been other things, but that was a big one. And I say was, I just believe it's not there now. God's just finally... I let him take it. What is it for you that's your leprosy? What is it that you are not letting God's love reach in and just go ahead and take it? Just get this out. I can't let this consume my body, my heart, my soul, my mind, will, emotion anymore. The day has come. Now is the day of salvation. And Jesus Christ is here to heal you from whatever your pain is. He loves you that much. Yeah, I just got. There's just so many things. I wanted to go to Luke 6, and I'm worried about time here. But let me do this. Luke 6. I just got to read this to you. 6 through 10. It's just too good. On another Sabbath, now get this. Here's a Sabbath, right? It's like we're having church here. Sabbath. They're in worship, and went into the synagogue, and he was and was teaching, and a man was there, whose right hand was shriveled. There it is. His right hand is all, there it is, all shriveled up. The man's not asking for anything. He's there to worship, but his hand's all shriveled. See? He's like this. And he's doing his thing, and he's not complaining to anybody. And yet Jesus sees this. And the Pharisees and teachers, they're watching him. I'm paraphrasing for a sake of time. But Jesus knew they were thinking. He said to the man, the shriveled hand, here it is. Here's the guy with the shriveled hand. Now get this. Calls him out, and he says, get up, stand up in front of everybody. And it's, wouldn't you? What would you do? And they're like, oh my God, he called me. No, all of you introverts out here would be passing out. You know, and the extroverts would be saying, maybe I'll get to say something. Anyway, so he calls the guy, and here's his hand, right? He's not been able to use his hand, maybe all of his life. And there he's, and what he said, stretch out your hand. And that's all he could do, really. He just stretched out his arm, because his hand, it says, is shriveled. And his hand, when Jesus said that, stretch this out, boy. And all of a sudden, it's whole. Now I want you to see the picture of God's love. The man didn't ask Jesus to heal him. Jesus saw his hurt and healed him anyway. And there's so many things in your life you don't even know what to ask for. But if you'll open up your heart, if you just get in there serving the Lord and loving, trying to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, God will heal you from things you didn't even ask him for. That man wasn't there to be healed. He was there to worship God, and maybe that's just that's the straw, right? He came to honor God regardless of what he himself was afflicted with, and Jesus is there and saying, you didn't ask for this, but you deserve this. Because you're hurt, and you're willing to worship anyway, and you're not standing here blaming God. You're just with your shriveled hand, but you don't have a shriveled heart. You know, is all that in the scripture? No, but don't you see it? And because of that, Jesus sees these things. He sees them in our lives. And whatever shriveled in you, Jesus right now wants to make whole. Let him. Here's the problem. So many times we sense the urging, the moving of the Holy Spirit saying, stand up, and we just sit there. Give it to me, and we don't do it. We don't listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So when he says something like this, do it. And you'll have your hand, your heart, whatever it is that's shriveled, healed. Isn't this powerful stuff? I mean, it just crawls all over you, just like, golly, this is great. You have deliverance right here at your fingertips. That, like that man, you have deliverance right here. Jesus is here to take away your hurts and your pains. He'll take them on himself. And you listen, you could never be around him without being changed. He's here now. He's moving. Let him heal you from whatever it is that hurts. Whatever it is. I'm going to close this moment, cut this short just a little bit. But, you know, let me show this second thing. How far does love go? It's love full of grace, forgiveness, acceptance. And I'm going to share this little story with you. Don't have time to read it all. But let me show you how far God's love goes with this. When we fail, you know, Peter, when Jesus was arrested, he sat outside the courtyard. He followed him, and he was sitting outside. Now we say, well, we know this story. Let's hear it again. And so a servant girl came up. She said, you were with him. You're with the men of Galilee, you know. And he said, no, man, not me. And he gone to the gateway. Another girl saw him. Why is it always these girls that'll just nail you? Guys, you need to pay attention to this. These ladies will get you. You just can't hide from them. They just have that womanly, that maternal thing about them, and they'll nail you every time. And this girl said, oh, yeah, you were there. You're one of his followers. And again, he denied it with an oath. Now he's cussing. Got him cussing now. Guys, do you ever see this happen? That's the only thing you can do sometimes around these girls when they're messing with your conscience. You start cussing. None of you guys do it, but you know people that do it. And then a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, yeah, you're one of them. Surely you're one of them. Your speech, we said, we know your speech. And then that rooster crowed, and then Jesus looked at him, and he went out and wept bitterly. You know what's not in here? All we know is all the scripture says, later when Jesus rose from the dead, it says he appeared to Peter. We do not know the words that were spoken at that time, but I'll tell you what, from our own experience, Peter was decimated. He had denied Christ, and Jesus told him he would three times. And then Jesus looks at him, and he's denying the very man who saved him. He's in the courtyard, and he's fearful, more afraid of his own life than for Jesus. So he cusses, he lies, he does everything just like people do when they're in a bind. You ever done it? You ever kind of ignored Christ in a situation and put up with some stuff and you knew better? But let me tell you what happened. How far does God's love go? There's Peter out there, and he's done everything sinful a man can do. He's denied his Christ. Sometimes we do these things and we're afraid we're going to go to hell, right? Well, Jesus appeared to him. Out there in his tears and his loneliness and in his sin, Jesus came to him. And whatever Jesus said, all we know is this. We know it was redeeming, and we know it was forgiving, and we know it was accepting of him. You know why? Because later Jesus is walking out there and he says, Peter, do you love me? I sure do. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yeah. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Feed my sheep. Here's the guy that lies and cusses, swearing oaths one minute, and the next minute, after Jesus has healed this man and said, I forgive you, I love you, I forgive you, Peter. Feed my sheep. I'm entrusting my disciples to you, Mr. Cusser. The most unlikely candidate of the whole bunch. And now I'm leaving and you're it. How about you? Is it time to let Jesus come walking on the beach and say to you, do you love me? Yeah. Then you take care of my people. Whether you cuss or deny or whatever you've done in your life, my love reaches out and I forgive you. Now go and let others know what I've done for you. How powerful is this? So in closing, those wonderful words in a message. In closing, just remember this. You have a Savior, a Lord, a God, who has a love for you. How far? It just keeps on going. It never goes away. Jesus said, I know those, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. No one can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who is greater than me, holds them in his hand. He says, my Father is greater than me. He has them, I have them. And he said, they can't pluck them out of my hand. And they can't take my sheep out of my Father's hand because he's greater than all. And what does this say to you? You're in God's hand. It says you're inscribed on the palm of his hand. Ever read that? He sees your name on his hand. God is spirit. He can see all your name. And your name is on his hand. He never forgets you. He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. And Jesus said, when you're one of my people, you're one of my sheep, you put your faith in me, and let me forgive you, ask forgiveness. I hold you in my hand, and my Father then has got you in his hand. Nobody can take you out. Nobody. No matter what you do. You can be a Peter, and you can go out there and do the most stupid things. And I'm going to come looking for you. And I'm going to find you out there in the wilderness, all broken and torn up. And I'm going to speak to you these words. My love reaches into every area, high and low, broad and deep. And I'm here today to say to you, I forgive you. Because I love you. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how far God's love goes. And it's here for you right now. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for caring. Thank you for loving. For loving and for loving. Thank you. Through your love, we're forgiven. We're born again. We're saved. We're healed. We're delivered. Oh, God, thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Oh, God, touch us and make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen.